All this week, visiting dignitaries are in town for the opening of the UN General Assembly, attending meetings, rubbing elbows with leaders from other nations, and spending money. Lots of money. Leaders from some of the poorest countries in the world can be found shopping in the most expensive stores, dining in the most expensive restaurants, and staying in the most expensive hotel suites that New York, one of the most expensive cities in the world, has to offer. In response, a group of journalists has launched an effort to expose the corruption and excess of the assembled world leaders, calling on citizen journalists to document their spending habits by posting pictures online. The effort, called KleptoWatch, is a project of the group 100 Reporters, which brings together top journalists from around the world to write about corruption. Former New York Times reporter Diana Jean Shemmo is executive editor of 100 Reporters. She says last year, during the opening week of the General Assembly, they were able to document that the president of Rwanda, one of the poorest countries in the world, was staying in a hotel suite costing $16,000 a night. And that kind of excess, she says, is neither necessary nor unusual.
All of the presidential suites are booked. So for the Upper East Side of Manhattan, Midtown, all of the presidential suites are booked this week. So I do think that is more representative than not. You also have to remember that a lot of these countries have missions to the UN, and they have places where visiting dignitaries can stay. So in the case of Rwanda, it was really egregious, because there you're talking about a country where 63% of the population gets by on less than a dollar and a quarter a day. 83% is under $2 a day. So you work out the math, like an average Rwandan probably could not work long enough to actually pay for more than one night in the hotel that the president enjoyed for several nights. So we do see excesses like that. We see government officials and diplomats driving around in Bentleys and high-end Mercedes. You see them spending crazy amounts of money. In a lot of these countries that they're coming from, there's almost a complete divorce from the conditions on the ground. And so we're trying to get people to think about that and pay attention to it. I think in New York we're getting a window onto a way of life. That's really what this week is about. It's not that they're living more extravagantly than they do at any other of the 52 weeks. It's that we're getting a window onto it because we're in New York. And so that's really the kind of lifestyle that we're trying to focus on, saying there shouldn't be this kind of complete divorce between the conditions on the ground for the vast majority of the citizens and the way that officials shop, eat, vacation on the government tab.
These are heads of state, and often it is considered mandatory that a certain appearance be maintained for them to feel that they can be taken seriously. How would you respond to that?
I don't think that staying in a $16,000 a night suite is mandatory for being taken seriously. It's true that a president who's traveling or a diplomat who's traveling needs to eat, but do they have to eat at the most expensive restaurants in the city? Does that have to be a part of representing your people? Do you have to be tooling around town in a Bentley? Is that absolutely necessary? You know, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, the president of Argentina, stops in Paris on her way to the UN last year and stocks up on 20 pairs of Christian Louboutin shoes. Reportedly, the whole thing was like $110,000. Is that necessary, like, to have these red-soled shoes in order to be taken seriously as a head of state? I don't think so. And if it is, then there's something seriously wrong, and that's what we need to be looking at.
What do you do with the documentation that you compile of the excesses of these diplomats and heads of state?
Last year we put out a story at the end of the term, and we'll do the same. We'll be writing a story, and this year we're doing it actually in the form of a contest. So we're asking New Yorkers to take pictures and to do videos, and we're going to post them on our website, and we're asking people to sort of weigh in and vote on them, and then we'll announce winners. We'll have a first winner, a second place winner, and an honorable mention. Our feeling is that you're never going to completely wipe out bad government and bad choices by government officials, or corruption for that matter. But what we're trying to do is essentially raise the cost of corruption and raise the cost of not taking the citizens into account. So if this raises people's awareness of it and makes them take a second look, then it might also affect the way these officials see what they're doing. New York, people don't think about it. We're so used to seeing people come into the city, you know, movie stars, government officials. But the people back home do care. In Morocco last year, we took a picture of a Bentley that was for the Moroccan foreign minister. It was part of their UN mission here, and it had the diplomatic plate so we could tell who it belonged to, of course. Well, back in Morocco, it was a huge story that their youth minister was driving an Audi. So you can imagine the youth minister is driving an Audi, and that's a scandal back in Rabat. Bentleys eat Audis for breakfast. I mean, they're like, you could fit several Audis into the cost of a Bentley. And so you could legitimately question the judgment of a government official who is coming from a country like Morocco, and that makes that choice.
Since this is a citizen effort, have you compiled a sort of field guide to international diplomats and presidents that can be accessed? And what do people do with the videos or cell phone pictures that they take of these heads of state?
It's funny you should ask that because that's exactly what we're about to post. We've been working all day on our little cheat sheets for people. So we're posting pictures of the heads of state who are expected in New York. And then we're going to post also the license plates so that if you see cars, you can tell like which countries have which codes for the plates. So it's not pictures of cars or pictures of plates. We're posting the designations for different countries, the link to that. And the material that people collect, if they want to enter it into the contest, they can send it to us through email. They can post to YouTube and then send us the link to it. So there's an entry form. You fill out, you go to the website. It's 100r.org, https://100r.org. And we have there the contest, the rules, and instructions for how to send your material over. And then we're going to post it on our website and to our Facebook page also.
This is a project of 100 Reporters. What is 100 Reporters?
100 Reporters is basically a sort of association or consortium of reporters around the world. We're professional reporters, and our idea is to expose corruption and promote government accountability. So we do stories on corruption in the United States and around the world. And where possible, we seek to connect with citizen reporters or citizen watchdogs who kind of alert us to stories where they are. So we're creating an international website for reports of corruption. And our idea is also to sort of use the protections that we have here legally to help reporters in other countries who have difficulty getting the stories out to tell their stories.
Diana Jean Shemo is executive editor of 100 Reporters. The website for the organization is 100r.org. That's the number 100, followed by the letter r.org.